Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Welcome to a study in the Word. We're at Harvest Worship Center here in Rolla, Missouri. And we're in the middle of a study. Well, not the middle. Well, it might be the middle. Who knows? This is message number...
Looks like the middle to me.
Yeah, I could, who knows what it is. Or how long it's going to go. But the title of our series is an in-depth study on love. And this is, today's message is number 27. The title of today's message is Developing Our Love Walk Part 2. And I think there'll be a Part 3, but I'm not really 100% sure about that. Even if it's another title, it's all connected. So we thank you for joining us today. Let's get started with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today to join our hearts as one before you. We thank you, Lord, for the honor and privilege we have of coming before your throne today, just as we are, hungry, loving you, sir, for you already love us, seating ourselves at your feet, as Martha did, and Martha and Mary together. We thank you, Father, that you have opened your heart to us. You want to teach us. You want us to know your word. You want us to know who we are and who you are. And you're not holding back anything, and we thank you for that, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
So today we position ourselves to be students of your heart. And we thank you, Father, that you're teaching us step by step, moment by moment, decision by decision. We thank you for the revelation that will come forth today during our study, and for that revelation that you'll continue to bring forth through this message and others that we receive as we go ongoing through our life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, last week we started part one of developing our love walk. And a couple of comments that we made in the beginning. And then we'll switch over to today's. Just to kind of connect the two. The love walk does not just happen. Now, we need to remember that. I can't just decide, even though I decide in this moment that I am going to walk the love walk. It's an ongoing process. It's not something that I can just choose to do and then just kind of go on with my life the way I do every day. The love walk does not just happen. We must make choices along our path. We must make decisions in our ongoing, moment-by-moment, daily life. The love walk must be developed, and that's what we're talking about. But today we're going to talk about, last week we talked about how to develop, brick by brick, block by block, item by item, moment by moment. We talked about actually the developing process. But when you have a developing process, you can't just look at what you do to develop it. You also got to look at what hinders the development. So today we're going to be looking at from the angle of view of what might hinder the developing of our love walk. Now remember, as we mentioned last week, we are developing something every moment of our life. Whether it's our love walk or our carnal nature or whatever it is, we are developing things on a moment-by-moment basis in our life. Even if we just sit down and do nothing at all, we're still changing things. Mm-hmm. Things are still changing. They're still developing around us. Every thought we think, every word we speak develops something. It's connected to something that's being developed, or it starts a process. So we need to be ever aware of that in our life. How is what I'm doing in my now moment, how is that affecting what I am trying to develop or what is developing already? Where is this leading me? What's the process that I'm either igniting and starting, or the process that's already there that I'm adding to? We don't think that way. We just kind of just respond. And that's dangerous. Someone that just responds to whatever comes their way and doesn't think about it, they don't prepare for it, they don't make some kind of a plan, they're not busy recognizing circumstances around them, they're not listening to their words or applying them in some way to see where this is going, they're not doing that, they're just a target for the enemy. The enemy can just do a little bit of a something, and then we'll hang on to that and go down the road and bury ourselves. We'll start digging graves for ourselves and not realizing that we're going to have to somehow get out of this or be buried here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so our thoughts, our decisions, our words, our choices in our moments make a big, major difference. But even if I know how to develop my love walk, what the steps are to doing things in my thoughts, what to think on, but I'm not recognizing the enemy's tools or just the circumstances around me, how they affect me, if I'm not aware of them, then I can't deal with them. I can't choose not to go that way. I can't choose another way. Just because I make a decision to do something doesn't mean I can carry it out because of the hindrances around me.
Right.
You know, you can keep putting water in a bucket, but if you got a hole in the bottom, what happens to the water in the bucket? And that's the way we can look at our life. If I'm busy trying to develop my love walk, but I got this area of unforgiveness over here or something else working in my life, it's draining what I'm doing to put into my love walk. It's draining it out.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting anywhere. I'm spinning my wheels. I blame God. I blame people. I blame circumstances, where I live, the area that I'm in, where I was born. I blame everything around me but myself. And it really doesn't matter what you're... what those hindrances are, you can overcome them. You can change your way of living to start developing and getting somewhere. You know, if there's a certain amount of flow going out of the bottom of that bucket that you're putting water in, but maybe you can't stop the leak immediately, but you stop slowing that leak up, you're going to start gaining ground. If you're pouring more water in that's draining out, you're going to eventually have a full bucket. But even with a hole in it. But if you eventually, maybe you can get that leak stopped altogether. But if you don't, and you're putting more water in it than's flowing out of it, eventually the water will flow over the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal, is for our love walk to be so strong that even those areas we're not aware of, that our love walk flow is to such a strong degree that it overcomes those weaknesses that we're walking in on our daily life. It puts us in a position that we can start overflowing. That's the goal. We don't want to keep the water in the bucket. We want it to be so full that it overflows. So we need an overflowing love walk in our life. We need the abundance of love and the word and faith to be flowing in us to such a degree that we flow out no matter what the weaknesses are in our life. It doesn't mean we don't deal with those weaknesses. It means that we do deal with them. But the love walk is so strong, and the flow is so strong, that eventually that love will seal that leak. But it takes time. It's a process. We don't just start overnight. I don't want to have a hole in the bottom of my bucket the size of the top of the bucket.
You know?
Yeah, you're definitely not getting anywhere there. You need a new bucket. But our love walk is very, 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 very important. If we are not busy developing it, we're developing the others.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't want that to develop, I'm developing it. Because the only answer that I have that can overcome those hindrances, those weaknesses, is my love walk.
Amen.
To the degree I walk in love, that's the degree of understanding of the word that I have. That's the degree of revelation that I have from the Holy Spirit. So this is not just some subject that we pulled in off of a wheel somewhere and decided this is what we're going to do. No, the Holy Spirit was very strong in me when we started this, that this needs to be an in-depth study. An in-depth study, something that goes beyond the normal study that we do on it. Something that is deep and gets down in there and starts digging around in these things where we can be an answer. We can make a difference. We can live in peace in our life no matter what's going on around us.
Amen.
But in order to do that, we have to develop our love walk. So this is a vital subject. If I don't get started, I'll never get done here today. I know I can't cover this again, but I don't know what I'm going to call the next one. But it will be related. Last week we studied 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. And that's basically the only scriptures we got to. We were in depth in that scriptures. There's always more there. And I suggest that you go there, especially if you have an Amplified Bible, and take it a verse at a time and just meditate on what you've got there. Just make that your study time. The love walk, make that your study time. But specifically in developing it, when you start working on your love walk, make 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11 a major study for yourself, because it covers every area of life. I'm just going to quickly read a couple of verses there, and we've studied it in detail last week, so go back and get part one of this on our webpage, rallaharvest.org, or here on Facebook, or let us know when we get it to you somehow, CD or otherwise. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we don't plan on spending much time here. We'll move on. But this is will be the Amplified Classic. For his divine power has bestowed, and we said that's past tense, has bestowed, and bestowed means to bring forth, to give, to distribute, to put in the storehouse, to have it ready, it's available. His divine power has bestowed upon us all things, and that word all is literally all, things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who has called us by and to his glory and excellent virtue. So if we're called to him and it's through the personal knowledge of him, we have to go where the knowledge is. And the only way we can, even if we read the Bible cover to cover, it cannot be revealed to us except by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is love. God is love. Jesus is love. The Word itself is love. Faith is love. So if we are going to have the full personal knowledge of God, the only way we can do it is work on our love walk. As we do that, the Holy Spirit is busy revealing the heart of the Father to us. And he's busy revealing who we are. If we concentrate on anything at all in our walk with God, love needs to be number one, amen, period, case closed. Because that's who God is. And that's who we are. And if we're not studying love, we're not going to know him. It's just, and that's what St. John talked about in 1 John, that's the only way to know him. If we don't do these things, we just never did know him. Mm. For God is love. Okay, so, and then the next verse there in verse 4, it says, by means of these, or the word, or his promises, by means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceeding promises, great and precious promises, so that through them, or the word, his promises, so that through them we may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, corruption that is in this world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of his divine nature, his divine nature's love. So it's through the word of God, through his promises, that's how we escape these bondages in life. That's how we overcome fear. That's how we overcome anger.
Amen.
That's how we overcome self-centeredness. That's how we walk. That's how we decide and make progress in our love walk. That's how we start pouring more water into our bucket than's flowing out. By the promises of God. His word, and we studied this in another subject several months ago, but we studied the fact that God's word is absolute truth. It cannot be changed. It's not possible for God's word to change. We've changed, but it doesn't. The world changes, but it doesn't. God's word is absolute truth.
Amen.
So when we take a hold of his promises, when we start applying them in our life and start working with those promises, those are absolute truths. They're not. It's not possible for the enemy to stop them. He's got to move us away from them. And he can only do that by deception. So if you know the word, if you're walking in love, Satan can't get in there. You have to let him in. Don't do that. Don't let him in. And if you're not walking in love, he has a door. Close the door. Lock him out. That's your job. That's our job. We make those decisions. And if we take the word of God and we say, this is absolute truth, I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know how it's going to work. I don't know, have to understand the process that's going to get it to come to pass. That's the truth, no matter what anything else says. That's the attitude you have to have. That's called faith.
Amen.
And it works by love. I love God, therefore I know he can never fail me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. His word is truth, and it's mine. He gave it to me. There's no way this cannot come to pass. When you get to that place, and that can only be done in a now moment, when you get to that place in your now moment, you make that decision and you keep making it, you're going to start filling your bucket up. You're going to fill your bucket up and it's going to start running over because you are making a now moment decision each time. You are walking in love. And you're walking in faith. And you're walking in the Word. It'll happen. You don't need to know how. You don't have to go to the doctor to find out how. You don't have to go to some scientist that he's not a Christian anyways, most of them, and he doesn't understand what he thinks he understands. So don't do that. He's got some knowledge. Let the Holy Spirit draw and glean on that where you can, but you stay Word. You stay Word-based, no matter what anybody says. The Word is truth. And the Holy Spirit will reveal what you need to know about those steps as you go. If you don't know something, don't worry about it. It's in God's hands. Just like David said, my times are in your hands. I love that. My times are in his hands. And the Holy Spirit is causing me to succeed here, not fail. All I have to do is stay consistently constant. Stay in the Word and guard my love walk. And he will reveal to me what I need to know as I go. The steps I need to take. Hallelujah. That is so awesome. I hope you grab a hold of that. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end and culmination of all things has now come near. Keep sound-minded and self-restrained and alert, therefore. So because the culmination of all things is coming to pass, and we know it is.
Yeah.
We know that it is. The end is here. We know that. Even if it's still 1,000 years ahead, we're still closer than we were, so we know that it's here.
Absolutely.
So whatever the case may be, however far the absolute end is for all things, and the absorption of time into eternity, whatever that is, we know it's coming, and we know it's near. So what do we do about it? Peter says to keep sound-minded and self-restrained and alert because of that. Therefore, for the practice of prayer. So the practice of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is communion with God. It's communication. It's a two-way street. Expect God when you're walking through your life and you're busy working and maybe you got your mind on your process. Down in your spirit, man, be communing with God. Be listening. Be alert to even the small menial thing I'm doing has an impact on the kingdom of God. The fact that I'm here, it has an impact. The fact that I'm here and walking in love and faith right now. Well, faith and love getting involved in, bro. Just all I'm pushing this button all day long. Very boring. No, you're pushing the button in love. You know, you're touching lives somewhere. You're doing something for the kingdom. That is prayer. Being spiritually minded. Communion with God. Expecting him to commune with you. And talk to him through those times. Count those buttons you push and give them to the Lord. That there's an end product coming from that button pushing. You know, there's something you are accomplishing. Well, no matter what job you are in life, I'm retired. I don't do anything but sit in this chair. Well, sit in the chair in prayer. You know, I'm in a bed. I can't move. Lay in the bed in prayer. Be communion with God. That's what he's talking about here. And that's be constant and alert for prayer. Be ever ready for it. For the practice of prayer. Above all things, verse 8, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Well, we're talking today about developing our love walk. One of the reasons why I walk in love is the fact that it covers a multitude
Amen.
Of sins.
Amen.
I can't focus on what people do wrong. I got to be constantly in an attitude of forgiveness. Constantly in an attitude of kindness towards others. The way I speak, the way I do things, the way I think things. You don't have to say everything you think.
No.
You don't have to say everything you feel. You know, keep it under the blood. Keep it under the blood. Keep it under the blood and under the love walk. And you'll find, even though you're thinking something, you're saying something else. You're saying, whatever you're saying it with a kindness behind it. You're saying it where it lifts that person up. You're saying it in another way than what you're thinking it. You know, so that the love walk does that. It puts his words in your mouth and they come out different than what you're feeling. And that's so awesome. That's so awesome when you're sensitive to that other person and sensitive to how you speak and how you think. You will do volumes in walking your love walk if you control your words and thoughts and how you speak. Just because you think it does not have to be said, and just because you think it in a certain way does not mean it has to be said that way. There's a thousand ways to say the same thing and come up with the same or better results. So, have intense and unfailing love for one another. If it's unfailing love, it's agape love. It's not a feeling emotional love. It's not a worldly love. That's why you have to develop it. It doesn't just happen. So this is vital to us. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up contentions, but love covers all transgressions. Why? It doesn't just cover it. When you cover something up, it's covered to keep it away, like a gate keeps things out or keeps things in. The gates of hell have no power.
Yeah, that's right.
A gate cannot defeat the church. When it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, it doesn't mean that gate's attacking me. It means when I get to a gate...
It doesn't mean to attack the gate.
No. It means that when I get to the gate, I got the key. It cannot prevail.
Mm-hmm.
If Satan's locking something up, he can't keep it locked if you got the key. And you do. And love is one of those keys. So keep it in mind. That gates of hell will not prevail because we have the key. It cannot keep anything locked up. We have the key. We can lock the gate and keep him out. But he can't keep us out. We can unlock and destroy any bondage anywhere because
Amen.
We have the keys. Hallelujah. You're not fighting a gate. You're unlocking the gate. We're binding and loosing. That's our job. Hallelujah. So love will cover all transgressions. It covers it in me. It keeps me love-minded. So I'm not responding, but that hatred is, maybe it is aimed at me, but it has no effect on me. My love overcomes the hate. The love of God will always overcome hate and destroy hate. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to, first of all, I'm going to remind you of something I talked about. We're talking about hindrances to developing our faith. Hindrances to developing our love. So I mentioned this a couple of messages ago, probably 6 or 7. I'm not sure which one I mentioned it in. But in Mark chapter 4, we're going to go there just briefly. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 17, 18, and 19, Jesus is talking about things that hinder the word. He's talking about the sower sows the word. And I'm just going to read this and not say too much about it because the scripture itself tells us what it's talking about, but we did talk about it in detail a few messages ago. But in, like I mentioned earlier, in the process of developing our love walk, we have to know what hinders it. And the things that hinder our faith, the things that hinder our word, our words that we're sowing, that Jesus is listing here, is the same thing that will hinder our love walk.
Amen.
They're exactly the same. If you hinder the word, you hinder our love. You hinder love, you hinder the word. These are exactly the same things, and we need to be aware of these. We need to be aware of these things in our life because they are so subtle. There are things that can be present in a believer that loves God and is working strong on his love walk, but they can be there and he have a wrong focus because of them. And we need, if we're aware of them, they in of themselves are not bad. It's when we focus on them that they are. So it's gonna hinder our love walk if we're focusing on them because it keeps us carnally minded.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 17. And it's amplified again because it really brings it out in a way. I don't have time for the whole thing. It'll be two lessons in and of itself. Verse 17, Mark chapter 4. And they have no real root in themselves. This is a seed that was sown. That seed did not root.
On stony ground.
It's on stony ground. I wish I could go back and start at the beginning. I just can't. So I'm going to start here. And they have no root, no real root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, They immediately are offended. Offense is one of those things. Become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. You have to be aware of offenses. You have to keep out of being offended. Whether it's you're picking up somebody else's offense or your own. You've got to guard your heart against becoming offended. Do not let it function. Okay, that's one of the hindrances to the love walk. Verse 18. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Every one of these hear the word. It's what they do with the word that makes the difference. Verse 19. Now these are the ones sown in the thorns that have heard the same word everybody else heard. Then the cares and the anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Did you hear and or notice the process? It didn't just happen. These things creeped in. Little decision here, a little one there, ignoring something over there, not concentrating on getting rid of something that's hindering you, just letting it go. In and of itself, riches are not a problem. Matter of fact, the word shows that God delights in the prosperity of his people.
Amen.
He made Abraham rich. Riches is not a problem with God. He loves it. And he wants to prosper his people. It's the deceitfulness of riches that make the difference. It's where they're your focus. And you can be functioning in the deceitfulness of riches and have no money at all.
That's right.
But you're striving for it. It envelops all of your thought time. Your focus is on it. When you pray to God, you're talking about money. Not his provision. Not the kingdom. But you're focused on that money. It is a problem, and he knows it. But you're being deceived. Your focus is in the wrong place. If you focus on the love walk and you give because you love and you tithe because you love, the blessing's on that tithe and
Amen.
He takes care of you. But if you're doing it grudgingly and you're doing it, but you're doing it grudgingly, there's no love there. So you're hindering yourself. That's deceitfulness of riches. Your focus is wrong. Everything we do must be done in love. It's not the riches. I have these riches because God gave them to me, and I love everybody I can with them. And the more I give, the more I receive. Not because I'm giving, but because I'm loving.
Amen.
That's how you control the deceitfulness of riches. The lust and cares and of this world. Are you focused so much on what's going on around you, but not on God? Are you focused on elections? And on COVID and all this terrorism and stuff. Is that your focus? Or is your focus on the love of God and through love overcome those things? Are you focused on praying for those leaders that they find out about the love of God and that they have revelation knowledge and that they see through the eyes of love what's going on? Then they'll have revelation knowledge on how to deal with it. But if you're focused on the problem and not the answer, you're part of the problem and not the answer. Love's not flowing. You're being deceived. So that will choke your love walk.
Amen.
If you concentrate so much on the problems and issues of life and not on the love of God, your focus is wrong. I'm not saying those problems are not there. I'm not saying that you don't need things if you don't have to make decisions. But you make them through the eyes of love and communion with God.
Amen.
You make those decisions based on the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you how to choose. Then those angels are out there busy working. They're making things. They're bringing things to you. They're causing understanding to come. They're setting up circumstances. And you're avoiding a lot of problems and issues of life that was in your path, because now you're walking in love, and your path don't include that. Mm-hmm. Now you're an answer. There's a big difference in the two. And these things will hinder our love walk. Study this. Study this. We talked about it before. But I want you to have this understanding as we go into this next scripture. This is a lot of scripture, and I'm probably going to spend more time reading it than talking about it, maybe. But everything, every verse here is a message or a series. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul is doing basically the same thing. He's talking about hindrances. He's been talking about understanding, especially his prayer in chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. He prays that we come into an understanding of love. We come into understanding of the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it. And now he brings these things in. And why does he do it? He's telling us what's hindering that.
Uh-huh.
He's telling us exactly what keeps us from understanding the love walk. What keeps us from understanding God. What keeps our faith from functioning. That's what he's doing. He's listing these things. So these things are the things that will hinder our development of our love walk. A subtitle for today would probably be things that hinder our love walk. But we're still talking about developing. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, we'll start there. We probably need Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1, but we can't go back that far. Okay, we're going to start in verse 14, and it's not because it's the beginning of something, but it's because it's a good place to start. One thing about Paul, he writes long sentences. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 4. So then, see, it's connected to the last one. And if you go back to 13, it says that. So you can't stop. They're all connected. But verse 14, so then, we may no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro between the chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers, engaged in every shifting form of trickery in inventing errors to mislead. The world's full of those. Sometimes it's called politics.
Yeah.
Erase that. Verse 15. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth. So rather than that, rather than concentrating on those things, rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love. I love that. I love that. Enfolded in love. We talked about that the other day, where you bring your robe together, like a robe or something, and you're just folding yourself up in love. You're covering everything with it. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into Him, who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. For, because of Him, the whole body of the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, with full power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. We build ourselves up in love with one another. As I walk in love with you, I'm building myself up. I'm building, you're being built up. We're building up together. Why? Because each of us has a part.
Amen.
And it says that joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. So if I'm supplied with something, it doesn't mean I got to come up with it.
Right.
What did Peter say? We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. We're not short of these things. I may in and of myself not know how, but I have the how in me.
Yes.
I have the ability in me. So I'm not short. I have, no matter what I think, I can link up with you.
Amen.
I can become part of you. I can receive from your strength. And you can receive from mine. And that's the idea. We grow up together, building ourselves up in love. So then, verse 17. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles, in their perverseness, in the folly and vanity and emptiness of their souls and the futility of their minds. We must be different than the unsaved.
Amen.
We should not be living the same way they live. There should be a definite, visible, acknowledgeable difference between how we live and how the world lives. They should see our love.
Amen.
And it's going to go contrary to the world system if we're actually doing what I'm talking about. Verse 18. Their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished. Who banished them?
Self.
They did. Self-banished. Self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because, this is why that happened. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to their insensitiveness of their moral nature. They're carnally minded. They don't care about this love thing. There's people in the church this way. I just got to act on the way things are now. I can't fool around with that. I don't have the time for that. My dear brother and sister, you don't have the time not to fool around with it. You're digging a hole so deep, you're going to have to work hard to get out of there. God will lift you out, but you can't ever get out of that hole with that attitude. You have to, on purpose, walk the love walk. And he'll lift you out of your hole. Verse 19, in their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to unvital sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity, that their deprived desires may suggest and demand. Thank you, Mama. You're a blessing to me. Verse 20. But you did not so learn Christ. So who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians here in Ephesians. I mean, they're all that way. A lot of us are that way in one way or another. We don't want to admit it, but we are. And he's saying, you didn't learn Christ that way. That's not what you were taught. That's not what you saw in the Word. Why are you doing that? Verse 21, assuming, so he's taking it for granted, assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and impersonified in him. Then verse 22 is graphic. Grip yourself. Not right now, but this is a spiritual stripping. Okay? Strip yourself of your former nature. Put off. Okay, start over. Erase all that. Verse 22. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self. So you have to do something with it. He'll help you, but you have to make the decision. Which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Notice it becomes, what's something that becomes? It's being developed.
Amen.
Verse 23, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So this is something you have to build and develop, but it's something that you have to keep developing in your now moment. And put on, you strip something off your old nature, your old carnal way of thinking. Now you're putting something on. Verse 24. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. You cannot walk a holy life without walking a love walk.
Amen.
That's what holiness is. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. Holiness is simply walking the love walk. That's the only way you can be holy, for God is holy. God is love. So in order for you to be holy, you have to walk in love. You can't do it any other way. So if you're trying to walk in holiness any other way and not working on your love walk, you're deceived. You're not going to succeed. You have to walk in love to walk in faith. You have to walk in love to have your prayers answered. You have to walk in love for the Word to work. You have to walk in love to walk in holiness.
Amen.
Okay, verse 25. Therefore, rejecting. Now, who rejects? I do. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done with it. Pardon me. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done now with it, let everyone express truth with his neighbor. For we are all parts of one body and members of one another. When angry, do not sin. Do not let your wrath, your exasperation, and your fury and or indignation last until the sun goes down. What's he saying? Deal with it. Don't let your anger rule. Where is the anger focused? On sin or on a person? If it's on a person, you're wrong. Deal with it. Don't. We talked about forging chains last week or week before.
Yeah.
The enemy wants you to be angry. He gives you the opportunity to do so. Or you created it yourself. Or you become part of it. Party to that circumstance. You are forging a chain. And it's not only chaining you, it's chaining the other person and anyone else that links up with that in the future. Don't do that. That's what Paul's saying. Deal with it. When angry, sin not. The only way to sin not and be angry is to be angry at the devil. Angry at sin, not at the person. Even that you have to control with the love walk. There is an anger that is rooted in love. That's God's type of anger. It's his wrath. That's the only one that's right. And it has to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit. But it's never geared to a person. Verse 27, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. When you do that, when you don't control those things, you have opened the door for the devil, and he gave you the opportunity to do so and give you everything that you needed to open it, and you took it from him. Don't do that. Verse 28, let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. See, this person that was a thief because he was evil. He was stealing, taking. Now Paul is saying, work now that you can give, that you can love someone with your industry. Give back to them. Love them with what you have. Let no foul communication, pardon me, verse 29, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. That's how you're supposed to speak. Govern your thoughts. Govern your speech. Verse 30. I'm out of time, but I'm going to finish this. Just going to read it. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If you do those things we just talked about, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and from the consequences of sin. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. Do not be carnally minded. Do not let those things work in your life. If you find any of these working in your life, deal with it immediately. It's keeping you from your love walk.
Amen.
And there's nothing more important. Verse 32, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another. Notice the progress again, being a developing here. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you, the first two verses of chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering, sacrificed to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance.
Amen.
When we walk in love, it's so beautiful to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for this time in the Word today. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. Thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding. We receive revelation in this, Lord, on an ongoing basis. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Our times are in your hands. We submit ourselves to you as our Lord, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us.